On the 80th anniversary of the United Nations, an American president stood before the General Assembly of Global Heads of State and offered a withering critique of the institution he had come to address. Donald Trump did not sketch an end to multilateralism as much as an end to multilateralism with the United States at the center of it. The question now, Trita Parsi of the Quincy Institute tells the Monitor's Howard LaFranchi, is whether the UN can retain and even enhance its usefulness while maintaining its role as a useful instrument of management of relations among the great powers. It's Wednesday, September 24th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Ruling military juntas in Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger have accused the International Criminal Court of what they say is selective justice. The pullout was not unexpected in the wake of the coups that brought the juntas to power in three Western African countries. The three countries have abandoned longtime partners, including the West, and have established new alliances, mainly with Russia. The Secret Service dismantled a telecom threat targeted at the United Nations. The system could have crippled cell towers and jammed 911 calls. The network could have blacked out cellular service, especially during the UN General Assembly. Officials have not uncovered a direct plot against the assembly. Also, a judge ordered the restoration of frozen UCLA federal grants. In August, UCLA said the Trump administration froze $584 million of funding after the government reprimanded the school for its handling of pro-Palestinian protests. The Los Angeles Times and Politico said U.S. District Judge Rita Lynn's ruling ordered that more than $500 million be restored. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. As the United Nations General Assembly opened in New York, President Donald Trump told member states that immigration and green hoaxes are the key threats to international peace and prosperity. Howard LaFranchi reports from the United Nations for the Monitor. The rebranding of the Defense Department comes alongside other interventionist moves, like bombing Iran and striking boats in the Caribbean. A key question is whether these actions signal posturing or a bigger shift away from President Donald Trump's America First position. Anna Mulrine Grobe reports from Brussels for the Monitor. Columbia and Brown universities have already made deals with the Trump administration to settle claims brought by the government. Harvard, Cornell, and UCLA are in negotiations. Where will the money end up? I, Reporter, report for the Monitor. With the Trump administration giving the cold shoulder to migrants, Venezuelans seeking a haven from their country's chaos are turning towards Spain for safety. And Spain is opening its doors, even amid Europe's rightward political winds. Colette Davidson reports from Santa Cruz de Tenerife, Spain, for the Monitor. Today's scientists owe a debt to the imagination and speculation that drove the Mars craze in the late 1800s and early 1900s, according to David Barron's book, The Martians, the true story of an alien craze that captured turn-of-the-century America. One astronomer in particular was convinced that superior beings inhabited the arid planet. Newspapers picked up his outlandish theories and added their own. His peculiar ideas drove researchers to uncover the truth. Contributor Barbara Spindle writes for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on how, after a migrant influx, Germany seeks balance. A decade ago this month, Germany opened its borders to more than 1 million migrants, mainly Syrians, as well as Afghans and Iraqis. Many were fleeing brutal civil wars. At the time, Chancellor Angela Merkel declared, "Wir schaffen das. We can manage this." And the challenging task of integrating refugees began. But the country's welcome mat soon wore thin. And that was even before the unexpected flow of another 1.25 million refugees from Ukraine after Russia's 2022 invasion. Now, like much of Europe, Germany is tightening border controls, turning away many migrants, encouraging many to return home, and deporting those in the country illegally or with criminal records. German politics has been upended by the rise of anti-immigrant sentiment. We clearly did not cope with the issue, current Chancellor Friedrich Merz has said. But he has also acknowledged an inescapable fact. Germany is a country of immigration, he said in May. Migrants made up 20.9% of the population last year, compared with 13.4% in 2015. Ordinary Germans recognize this new reality. Citing cost and cultural differences, 68% of citizens want fewer refugees. But 63% agree that immigration is important for the economy. Germany faces labor shortages across 163 occupations. In 2024, there were more than 5,750 Syrian doctors working in the country. The challenge for Europe's largest economy is how to stem illegal migration and better integrate legal immigrants while staying true to its democratic principles. This might require a shift in perspectives and a focus on available data and facts. As labor researcher Herbert Brucker told Bloomberg recently, the glass is more half full than half empty when it comes to refugees' role in the economy. For refugees who arrived between 2013 and 2019, 68% were employed 8 years after arrival. As more find work, they reduce the strain on the welfare state. They also contribute as employers and community leaders. For example, DR Kahl, who arrived in 2014 as a teenager, now speaks German fluently and employs 15 people at his tech firm in Mannheim. Ryan Oshelbaum, who fled Syria as a 21-year-old, was elected mayor of Oselsheim in 2023. It's a liberal country, he told Reuters. Whoever is ready to do something here can get the opportunity to do so. Shortly before leaving office this spring, Germany's former interior minister stressed the importance of debating migration without resentment and with awareness that we are talking about human beings. Calling for more respect for the millions of residents from immigrant backgrounds, she reminded Germany, "We are one country, we are one society, and we belong together." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how God's abundant goodness for all empowers us to joyfully live out from Jesus' teaching. Freely ye have received, freely give. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flatt, Mackenzie Farkas, and Victoria Hoffman.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2025.